What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're in episode 93, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. So if you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, that helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going. With me is Derek, as always. What's up, Derek?
Yo, what's going on, Bob?
Nothing. How's your, what's today, Sunday? How's your Sunday going?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Not really anything to mention. You?
It's good. It's sunny out, which is good. It's colder, but it was like spring here for some reason.
Yeah, it was also spring here, and now it's not been, but, you know, it's okay. It's still February, right?
Yeah, I mean, but it was like we kind of got that couple days of like, you know,
it was phenomenal for a couple days.
Yeah. Yeah, so like you got that couple days of really, really awesome weather, and yeah, it was like kind of like going on vacation almost.
A little bit. It got really cold here, and it snowed yesterday, but it's actually warming back up now, so.
Yeah, it snowed last night here, but like not enough to make anything on the ground, but it was cold enough to snow, but it was like we had every season in like three or four days. Yeah. Kind of crazy, so that's kind of been the week, but we got a lot of cool stuff this past week, so let's just jump
into the weather.
Yeah, I think our listeners would rather us talk about tech, so we'll jump into our reviews this week. And we have an amazing product. It is the Aorus Z270X Gaming 9 motherboard. If you're not familiar with Aorus, it is a Gigabyte brand. They basically took the G1 Gaming branding and they turned it into Aorus for the most part. Aorus, they did have the Aorus brand before they brought it out with motherboards and graphics cards, but it was mainly to sell gaming laptops.
Yeah.
And they're kind of just trying to help consumers. I don't know if they just needed a new branding, G1 Gaming wasn't doing well, or they just want to help consumers kind of know what is what when it comes to Gigabyte, when it comes to their motherboards and graphics cards. So that's...
Yeah,
for the most part, from their mainstream line. So we have the Z270X Gaming 9, which as it sits is their flagship Z270 motherboard. And this thing is a beast. It pretty much has everything that you would want on a Z270 motherboard. You have a PLX chip, so you can run two graphics cards at X16 speed, and then all four graphics cards at X8 speeds if you want. Dual M.2, dual U.2 connectors, 802. It has a killer the TriShot X3? I can't think of what it's called. It has whatever the killer one is, the killer double shot X3, which means dual killer gaming NICs as well as killer 802.11ac Wi-Fi. It has the highest end Sound Blaster certified audio solution on it. Like, this board has everything. It's maxed out with RGB LEDs like everywhere.
It's basically just the G with the top end G1 board with the new RS branding.
Yes.
And the new EK water block.
Yeah, so they also have a hybrid water block. So it's designed in conjunction with EK. So if you are doing a custom loop, you can just tie right into that, which is really cool.
They didn't do like most of them that we've seen up until now have been like the motherboard manufacturer like designed them almost completely, it seemed like. And they like had like they matched the shroud or whatever, you know. But I really like that it's just, it looks like an EK block, right?
Yeah, I do like it. And they even said, even if you're not going to run the cooling, that heat sink is better than anyone they've ever put on a motherboard before. 22 phase all digital power design, like this thing.
Wow, that's a lot of power.
Yeah, this thing is a beast. Like, I can't think of anything. The only other board that I wouldn't even say outmatches, but there's one other board that has a little bit more features than this, and it is the ASRock Super Carrier. And that has, I believe, two PLX chips on it or something. It's the only Z270 board that you can do four-way X16 speed. And it has the 5 gig Ethernet connection.
I bet, though, if you ran that thing with anything other than four-way, it would just be... Well, not terrible, but you would have like a noticeable or measurable difference because those PLX chips actually slow the board down.
Yeah,
run it in SLI. So
Yeah, so yeah, that's actually a good point. But besides that, I mean, this has everything, and the RGB LEDs on this are awesome. I believe there's, I just did a video which I didn't put up yet, but I think there's 9 different zones for the RGB LEDs, and then you also have 2 RGB headers. Like, this thing is, yeah. It has everything. I really like this board. Yeah. So if it is extended ATX, that's the only thing. So if you are concerned about size in a case, that's the only issue. Really didn't find
EATX. There's not many boards out as ATX that are in the EATX form factor.
Well, to fit everything on here, you kind of need to really. Yeah.
Pretty much anything with 4-way SLI is gonna need that just
to spread everything out. And just, I mean, for everything on this, you just need the space for the extra killer chips, for the PLX chip, for the dual U.2s, for everything else that's on here. And this also has like power resets, clear CMOS buttons all on the board, has instant OC button on the board, has eco button on the board, like it has a dual debug LED display, like it has everything. Nice. I mean, there's not much that this doesn't really have. I didn't find anything really wrong with this board. If you're looking for something in this price range, in this feature set, this is one of the top ones to get, and I really like it. So
I assume you overclocked on it.
Yes.
It must have been pretty stable.
Yes, very stable. Got up
power phases.
Yeah, it's overclocking on the Z270 compared to Z170 is a little bit I wouldn't say shaky, but it's I just don't think the chipset is as matured as obviously Z170 is. Yeah. So but no, I did get up to 4.9 stable, which is pretty good from up to
7700K.
Yes. Yeah, so, but again, that was like a real quick, like, let's see what this can do. You know, there's a lot of different things on Z270 that you can really dive down deep into. But obviously, because of our timing on obviously getting reviews done, I couldn't really sit there for days and try to, you know, achieve the best. Yeah, but I mean, just a simple overclock that pretty much I tell you exactly how to do it. Anybody can do it. You should be able to achieve at least 4.9 if you're running an AIO, and maybe even more than that. You know, so.
Yeah. I assume more than that with a real water cooling
system. Yeah, if you had a real water cooling setup, you could easily hit 5.1, 5.2, I would think. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, if you took more time with it, which again, I didn't have, you could really fine tune that so it's like 100% rock solid, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, really cool board. Definitely one of my picks if you're looking for this feature set and this price range. It is an expensive board. It's $499. So, mm-hmm. That's kind of... But again, it's packed, loaded with features, you know, so...
Oh, before we move on, how did you feel about the BIOS?
They redid the BIOS. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember before, but Gigabyte had that HD BIOS and then that quick screen, and like the HD BIOS was awesome, but it was like they didn't finish it for some reason. Mm-hmm. It was like not all the settings were there. It was like if they just made that their main BIOS, I would have been happy, and I still would have been happy with it, but they just didn't finish it. So they've gone back to like a classic BIOS. It works well. It's not as good as other ones I've seen out there. Mm-hmm. And it was just a tad bit laggy. I don't know, again, the maturity of the Z270 and getting these boards out. I downloaded the latest one as soon as I got it. So just a little bit behind compared to other vendors that are out there. But
I've kind of found Gigabyte in general to have a laggy BIOS.
Yeah, so I can't remember the last Gigabyte board I reviewed. It might have been a Z170. But yeah, it just, you know, it's not as polished as, say, Asus or even... I do like MSIs as well. You know, if you're going to be in the BIOS a lot, it might be something to consider. But all the settings are there. They're easy to find, and you can maneuver around it pretty well. So,
cool.
So, yeah. So, we will move on to the Cherry MX Board 6.0. And this has been out for quite a while. but they sent it to us anyways. And this is sort of still stands as their flagship gaming motherboard through Cherry. So, if you didn't know, I'm sure you've heard of Cherry MX Switches. They are the German company that makes the mechanical key switches in many gaming motherboards, but they actually make their own motherboard, or not motherboard, what am I thinking? Yeah. Their own keyboard.
I was just counting how many times you were going to say it.
I know, right? I'm on a roll, so it's just, you know. They make their own keyboards as well, and the MXBoard 6.0 is their flagship keyboard, and I'm still using it now, so that's a testament to how good it is, because usually I stay sick with one board, and then when I review these boards, I use them for a while, then I switch it back, and I haven't switched it back. I really like it, but in today's standards, it's a little bit behind. Again, no RGB backlighting, no programmable software, but the feel and just how comfortable it is unmatched out of every keyboard I've ever reviewed. So, and that's quite a bit, and that I've ever used. It is just so nice. It's an all aluminum chassis, has this really big wrist rest, which I actually like. Some people don't like the big ones like that, but I do like it. It just feels good. And for me, I don't need extra macros, or I don't play like MMOs. I don't even play a lot of games these days, but you know, it has everything I need. It has multimedia functions. That's pretty much all I need. I like it. It's to be so impressed by something that's been out since what, 2015, I think. So since 2015, this has been out, and to still be so impressed by it, you know, I could say it at the time it was really good, but it's been surpassed. But as far as comfort and feel and usage, the best keyboard that I've used, and that says a lot. So,
I assume you had no input troubles or anything like that, because it's
using hardware. So it's 100% anti-ghosting, which means that, you know, full Nycro as well, so you can press down as many keys as you want, and it's going to register every key, and that's pretty cool. So, you know, that means when you're in game, you're not going to miss a hit or a keystroke or whatever. Even when you're typing, it's annoying when you miss a keystroke when you're typing. You know,
for me, it's always getting that reload in game.
Yeah, getting reload or opening a door, or like I was just playing Gears of War 4 today, and you know, like revving your friend while you're in the middle of action, you don't hit that E button, it doesn't register, then you miss picking him up, and then you get killed or whatever. You know, it's one of those things, and it's just a really comfortable keyboard. It doesn't have all these crazy features, RGB LEDs or extra USB inputs or anything like that. It's just a comfortable keyboard, I would say, for the purist who just wants great comfort and great reliability, and this is it. So,
kind of for your hardcore mechanical fan.
Yes. And it's still expensive. I mean, it is, I think it's like 160 or 170, and that's expensive for a non-RGB, non-software, all the other stuff.
Macros either, huh?
Yeah, no macros or anything. That just speaks to the quality of the board, I think.
Just the hardcore functionality of it.
It's really, really nice. It is backlit, so you do have red backlit keys, and then so if I hit actually I have it here, so like if I hit caps lock, the actual caps lock key will change to blue. So there's no activity LEDs on this. It's all on the key, so those keys that are like, you know, like number lock, I can turn that on and off right now, and so when I have it on, it is blue, but when I have it off, it's red. So kind of cool stuff like that. I like it. You know, it is, again, super, super comfortable, but if you're looking for customization, it's not the keyboard for you. But if you're looking for comfort and everything like that, it is the keyboard for you. So, cool. Kind of a two-edged sword there.
Oh, yeah.
And then finally, we have a mobile product, and we haven't reviewed a lot of mobile products lately, but ADATA wanted to send this over. It is their A150QC power bank. It's their new power bank. If you are on the go, or you're go to work, or you're pretty much a heavy mobile phone user, you're on Instagram, you're playing games, whatever it is, you're on Facebook, you know you need a power bank. It doesn't matter what phone you have, it's just not going to last. It's the sad truth, and that's there's a whole industry around our phones not having good batteries. And that's why we have power banks. So this one is, again, the A150QC. It's 10,050 milliwatt amp hours. So that's like 3.5 to 4 charges on a typical phone, mobile phone these days. And what's cool is this has the Qualcomm Quick Charge 3.0, so that will actually charge your device much faster. The biggest pain is that when you're low on battery, you want to get the full battery and you don't want to have it plugged in for a long time. So that kind of alleviates that. The only downside with that on this one is that it's only available through the Type-C connector on this. So this has two outputs. It has a normal USB output, so it's like pretty much anything that you have these days, and then it has a Type-C output. You can easily buy Type-C cables very cheaply on Amazon. You can buy like Type-C to Lightning if you're an Apple user, or you can just do like Type-C to micro USB, or if you have a new phone, it should, like a new Android phone.
If you have a good phone, you could just go, you know, Type-C to Type-C.
Yeah. But, you know, this is a, so that's where you'll get that faster charging. That's the only downside to this one. But it's really nice. It's heavy. It's big. It's wrapped in aluminum. It's actually fire retardant or something like that, they said. Fire resistant as well. You know, so it's just something you can have in your bag. It works really well. So many of these are made cheaply, and that's the big thing. You can buy a lot of these on Amazon extremely cheaply, and you get really bad power delivery. You get bad batteries, because inside of these it's just rechargeable batteries. You get bad batteries, you get bad wiring, things like that, and we've seen those. And this one doesn't seem to be like that. It seems to be really, really good, really well made, and it's just perfect for, you know, if you need a power bank, this is a good one. You know,
seems like it. You also get it's smart, right? So it is actually reading your phone and the charge speed and stuff. So that's actually a big thing.
Yeah,
and that prevents it from like damaging your phone as well.
Yes, yes. And one other cool thing is that you can be charging the power bank and charging your devices at the same time. It has the pass through. So, you know, the biggest thing is, oh, I only have one available port or one available power port. I need to charge, you know, I need to charge my power bank, but I need to charge my devices as well. You can do it all at once. So that's pretty cool. So yeah, so definitely check that out. And those were our reviews for the week. A lot of cool stuff there. And we will move on to Case Mod Friday. And this week we have a really sexy build from, I can't say the guy's name. We featured a few of his builds before.
Taizong Deng?
Yeah, you probably got it. I'm not going to try to repeat that and butcher it. But he is out of Thailand, which we've seen. You know, there has to be a really great building community over there. Obviously, you know,
yeah, they got it going on.
Yeah, the guys from Thailand that we feature a lot of, this guy and the High Resolution Computer Shop, which is a computer shop, but they do custom builds for customers. And a lot of these, we just featured one last week, I believe. And their customer builds are amazing. You don't find that at computer shops in the United States for the most part.
No, it's probably two things. It's probably that they have a customer base for it, right? Because you're more than likely not shipping these super internationally, I wouldn't think, just based on cost and damage during. Maybe they are, I don't know. I would just think that the scene there is probably really good for it, and it really helps to be that close to where, you know, the case manufacturers are.
Yeah.
Parts manufacturers.
Yeah, they're really close, and the high resolution computer shop is actually in Bangkok, which is, I believe, the biggest city in Thailand. I know it's the capital city, but I don't know if it's the biggest city. But, you know, so they have quite a. They definitely have a good customer base, and but let's get back to our build.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about this actual build. It's in the Corsair 570X, which is a great case, and this really isn't a big mod. I mean, this is just a clean, solidly done build. Great colors. It's kind of red themed, and he uses MSI hardware, I believe, on the.
Motherboard and GPU.
So he has a red and black theme throughout the case, red coolant. He keeps the white fans in the front, which actually contrasts really well. And he's added white fans on the inside, which look really good too. And again, there's not a whole lot of modding. There's custom sleeving done, which if you're not even, you can order those, you know, if you don't want to do it yourself. Custom water cooling loop. And I don't think there's any modification to the case. Maybe adding that, the holder for the reservoir, and I think that's really it.
Which really isn't.
Yeah, that's not hard.
It's just a standard thing.
Yeah.
It's just it looks so good because it's got the routing on the tubing is really good. That can be like your whole build if you don't have your tubing routed. Like, there's something about the aesthetic of it and getting the balance correct with the way that the runs go that really set off how the build ends up looking when it's finished.
Yes.
And they nail it on this one for sure.
Yeah, so it's hard tubing, and that would probably be the most difficult thing about this build, I think.
Yeah, but it's still not, none of them are crazy bends or anything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's again, this just shows that you can do something that's not super in-depth and have it look amazing, at least in my opinion. I think this looks great.
The lighting is really actually really good, too. That helps a lot.
Yeah, so...
You got to go with white on the inside, but I like that they have red as well.
Yeah.
So it plays off well.
Yeah, so it looks... It just looks awesome. The Dragon... SLI connector is pretty cool too. You
all
can just
of it, all of it helps.
Yeah, it's just a good overall build, so I like it. So yeah, definitely check that out. As I always tell you guys, we have a full Case Mod Friday section, so if you want to look at builds, we have a ton in there. But let's move on to news, and I'm sure anybody can guess what our news is for this week, or at least most of it. Most of it is Ryzen. So AMD held a event this week or this past week, and they actually unveiled the first three Ryzen processors. Now, for the most part, we knew what the lineup was going to be. So many leaks, you can't. It just these days, you can't really surprise most people.
Yeah, especially when I would guess that they're the ones leaking them.
Yeah, a lot of this information is leaked by the company anyway. So we knew most of this stuff. But they held the event official, and it was weird because unless you were at this event, you didn't know what happened or was going on. I got the I was actually at the gym, and I got the like alert on my phone, and I was like, what? I was like, this is not supposed to happen until the 28th. But they officially unveiled the processor. So the three that were officially unveiled is the Ryzen 7 1800X, the Ryzen 7 1700X, and the Ryzen 7 1700. As far as pricing, they'll be $499 for the 1800X, $399 for the 1700X, and $329 for the 1700. I still believe that reviews will be out on the 28th. So that's when the embargo lists for the review. And then the worldwide shipping, or when... You should. I don't know if it's going to be like, you know how you can like pre-order video games, mm-hmm. and like sometimes they come a day early. So like, I don't know if this is when they're going to ship or when they'll be shipped. Like when you'll get them.
They'll arrive.
Yeah. Because Amazon does that sometimes. Like people, like, there'll be a big game that comes out, like say like Gears of War, and somebody pre-orders it on Amazon, and they want the, you know, they actually get a physical copy. Like say like for Xbox, and they get it like 2 days early or something. That'd be kind of cool with this.
Sure.
But the on-shelf date is March 2nd, so that's very, very soon. Everybody will be able to get their hands on these processors. As far as speeds go, the 1800X is clocked at 3.6 gigahertz and boosts up to 4.0 gigahertz. It does have the XFR, or extended frequency range, which means that depending on your cooling, it will actually clock higher than 4.0 gigahertz if you have that cooling. The 1700X is 3.4 gigahertz, and it boosts up to 3.8. It also has XFR. And then the 1700 is clocked at 3 gigahertz and boosts up to 3.7. It does not have the XFR feature. But yeah.
AMD has to just be stoked on this right now.
Yeah, and at the same event, they revealed the Radeon Vega logo. And it's in that bottom photo, if you can see it.
Yeah,
it's a little different, but it has like kind of like a V...
Yeah.
Kind of like it. I like new branding, so
definitely, yeah.
Yeah,
I really like the Ryzen logo actually.
Yes,
I've seen it for a long time, but just a comment that I do like that.
Yes, and
I think it's everything they're doing right now is better than anything they've ever done. I feel like their logos, I mean, the chips are obviously far superior to anything they've ever done. The logos are good, the packaging's good, the coolers are good, which we'll get into more. I just think that they're on point.
Yeah, everything is good. You know, I really can't. Again, we've seen leaks and stuff, but I just want to see the real review and like get the definitive answer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Haven't we seen enough that we know that it's at least like?
Yeah, I think that it is. Yeah, I think that it is. And again, it's just we're so used to. at least in my opinion, like, I think we're so used to disappointment from AMD, especially on the graphics card side. You know, they made the Hawaii series out to be like amazing, and they had that massive event, and it was like, you know, even with the R9 series,
none of the theories were really that.
Yeah, so you know, it was just a bunch of disappointments. And after you watch the event, like, I was really pumped on the R9 Nano, like, I wanted to get it.
Yeah,
and then it just. You know,
didn't live up to the hype.
Yeah, exactly. So, I guess that's my thing. But I'm really excited for this. A bunch of the stories that we're going to talk about today show you that AMD is really kicking ass on this. So yeah, it's going to be exciting upcoming week here.
Yeah, for sure.
So, talking about that, those were the first three processors, and I mentioned the pricing, but the entire Ryzen pricing lineup has been revealed. So you can get into Ryzen for as low as $129, and that is their lowest chip, which is the R3 1100, and that is a 4-core so it doesn't have their hyper-threading. So it's 4-core,
right.
4-thread, it has a frequency of 3.2 gigahertz and boosts up to 3.5, 65-watt processor. But again, to get into Ryzen for $129, not bad. So you can move up to, like, say, like the 1600X, the R5 1600X. Yeah. So that would be like if you're looking at this as compared to Intel, this would be like the highest end Core i5.
I would say this is like the highest end i7.
Well, in performance wise, yes. But if you're looking at the lineup, we have the R7 1800X, right? So
if we move. Okay, I guess we're saying different things here.
Yeah. I mean
mainstream processor. This would be like 7700K equivalent.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not comparing. I'm just comparing the thing. So in R7, okay, we have the 1800X. If we move down to R5, the flagship R5 is the 1600X.
Okay, yeah.
And that will be only $259. So again, extremely affordable.
Yeah.
And that has a frequency of 3.3 gigahertz. And boost up to 3.7. I didn't mention that it is 6-core, 12-thread, and it does have XFR, so you can go above that 3.7, 95-watt processor, 259.
That works spectacularly, like they want to. Like, imagine if you just threw on like an amazing liquid cooling loop, and then you never even went and overclocked it. It just overclocked itself to like 5.5, something crazy like
that. Yeah, it's very aggressive pricing. You know, seems that at the end of the day, us, the consumers, are the real winners here.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about in a little bit. But
we share the top step with AMD, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Ultimately, though, yeah, this is playing out exactly how we've wanted for years.
Yes. So, really exciting. And again, it's not going to be that expensive to get into Ryzen if you want to check it out. So.
Yeah.
Not only are the processors affordable, but the boards are as well from what we've seen. So,
should we skip down to the Intel thing since we're kind of talking about
pricing? Oh, yeah, we'll skip down. So, okay. Talking about pricing and everything, Intel apparently is dropping the prices of their entire core processor line. So from their Core i3s up to their highest end, high-end desktop Core i7s. It looks like, at least at Micro Center, they are dropping incredibly.
Like significant.
So the Core i7 6950X, which is the flagship Intel high-end desktop processor, it's getting a $300 price cut. So it's going from $1,899 to $1,599. Pretty big price cut.
Does that make it cheap enough to buy?
I don't know. No, I don't think. Yeah. I mean... Unless you have a use case for that high big of a processor, 10-core processor, you know. But we'll go down to like more mainstream. So the 7700K, it gets an $80 price cut. So it was $379. It's down to $299. So not bad.
I actually feel like we're going from overpriced to sort of correct pricing, and that actually it should probably be even cheaper
to stay competitive. I think that... this week we might even see more price drops, you know, once the launch happens and everything like that. But you know, the Core i5 7600K, it also gets a $70 price cut, so that's $200.
Yeah,
You know, that makes it very, very affordable. And again, it gives you that extra bit, that extra $70 that you can buy, you know, $170 graphics card instead of $100 whatever.
Or you can get up to this processor now.
Yeah. Say,
instead of something else that you couldn't afford before.
Yeah. So that is, that's pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I think that you've got the 6600K from Skylake. That's 180. That's actually a pretty good price.
Yeah,
I feel like that'll be competitive still.
Yeah, I think again, too much. As I said, just said a couple minutes ago, we're the real winners out of this whole battle. Is that the consumers are? We're getting great pricing, great performance, and Intel having to drop prices to remain competitive, and that only helps us. You know, it helps us build systems, better systems, or helps us actually be able to build a system. If money is a big issue for you, you know, you can get into either Intel or AMD here very affordably. So pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we'll go to the, I don't know why I put these in this weird order, but we'll go to the other Ryzen story about everything. It seems like pre-orders have been up on a bunch of different websites, and it seems like Ryzen processors are pretty much sold out everywhere. After they were announced, they were put on Amazon, and they became the number, the R7 1800X became the number one best selling CPU on Amazon, and the 1700X became the number two best selling CPU on Amazon just within hours of the announcement.
Is that all time or just current?
I think current.
Okay.
I don't believe it's all time. So the R7 1800X completely sold out at Amazon, as well as Newegg. R7 1700X and 1700 are still in stock some places. Fry's has said that they're completely sold out of all Ryzen processors they had in stock gone. You know, so their pre-orders are just completely filled up, the stock that they have. So it might be, again, might be one of those things, might be kind of hard. This first round of processors are all gone already, which, I mean, they've really hyped this thing up. And it seems like the hype is going to become reality.
They're sweet spotting it like crazy. Like the $500 price point for that kind of performance is like any more, and you're getting to be just a little too much. But like a lot of people have a little bit more to spend than say like a 7700K, right? At 300, when it was at 380, they're like, well, I got a little bit more, but I can't get really anything Intel that's a little bit more.
Yeah,
and this puts a part that's just that little bit more, and it's way more performance than you're going to get from Intel until, well, I mean, we'll have to see, but basically until you hit the top of their product line.
Yeah, so it is this is just a really exciting time. I think this is the biggest shakeup in CPU history since the Pentium days.
At least.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, we're old now, so, you know. Yeah.
The kids don't even know.
Yeah, they don't even know. So this is really awesome. Really awesome time to be a PC enthusiast for sure. So we have information on the stock coolers and the new box art. So we talked about the box art last week, and what was shown, I don't know if that was just somebody made that up, I guess, but apparently that's not the real box art.
Yeah.
This new box art is much, much better, in my opinion. Looks really great. It's kind of gray with the Ryzen logo on it. With orange on the side. I like it.
Matte colors.
Yeah, real cool. And you'll be able to get pretty much all the processors with a cooler or without a cooler, depending on, you know, what you want. If you're just a basic user, you don't want to mess with a different CPU cooler, you just want to get it with a cooler, you can go ahead and do that. So you'll be able to get the basic heatsink, the Wrath Spire, and then the Wrath Max. And the Wrath Max is the super high performance ones. That cooler can handle TDPs up to 140 watts, and it looks like a really nice cooler for the most part. I mean, certainly, for a stock cooler, it looks pretty nice.
I think depending on how much it's going to be standalone, it's just a good cooler in general.
Yeah.
For a top down, cooler, of course.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, again, we're not 100% sure, but we are pretty sure that that ring around the fan will light up with RGB colors, I think. So that's a nice little feature as well. So yeah, pretty cool. much better than those black boxes. They're just all black with a Ryzen logo. I didn't really like that at all. So yes. So we're down to benchmarks, and more benchmarks have been leaked this week. So the R7 1700X, somebody had one and they benchmarked it in 3D Mark Firestrike, CPU Mark, and Cinebench or Cinebench R15, scored incredibly well. Really, really well, actually. And one thing that was cool is that if you go on an Antec, you can look up the scores of previous processors. And again, these are gonna vary a little bit differently based on the testing. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the scores of the Cinebench test, which scored 1537 with the 1700X. And if you look at, you know, processors that they tested, the $1,200 mm-hmm. i7 6900K
yeah.
scores 1547.
Yeah.
So pretty much.
If you need that.
Yeah. So a $500 versus right now, it's going to be dropped to $1,000. So still $500 more for that. That's really, really crazy. And you could also go back and look at the Bulldozer AMD CPUs. So remember, if you guys do remember that the FX9590, which is a 220-watt processor, that was that 5 gigahertz. Oh, we did 5 gigahertz, but it sucks, basically. And it ran so hot that, like, we needed to include an AIO with it because it ran so hot. Yeah. You know, that scored 728 points in the multi-threaded test compared to, again, 1537.
Yeah, that's scrolling a long ways down the list.
Yeah, that is 110 times better. and then it also scored 40 times better in a single threaded test. So that just shows you how Intel has really brought up IPC performance, and they've really done a great job with this. Because again, that's the previous generation of CPU from AMD, right?
Yeah.
To go from
it's different tech, essentially.
Yes. But to go to jump like that to
in order to make that leap, you have to just abandon everything you've been doing, basically.
Yeah, and so that just really shows you. Definitely check out our article on this, because we kind of show you that. And even again, these test systems are a little different, but just in general, I mean, this is just a CPU test, so
yeah,
you know,
you could make up some points, but you're not talking about major differences.
Yeah, so that just really shows you a lot, and I think that's awesome. So
yeah,
cool.
We know these are legit or not legit. How much do we believe these?
What?
These leaked benchmarks.
I think they're legit. It's close enough where it's not like months out, you know, right. It's like we're like weeks out, yeah. You know. Or a week out.
That people have them.
Yeah. Even if it's an engineering sample, they have them, so. Yeah. So yeah. Also talking about Ryzen again, of course. The 1800X has already beat the Cinebench world record. the video which showed it was taken offline, so we don't have the video. It was on YouTube, but then it was taken down. But they took a R7 1800X,
yeah.
And they had the chip running at 5.2 gigahertz under LN2 cooling, which
interesting too.
Which isn't that high.
It's not very fast.
It is
8 cores, though.
That's true. So you're right. Yeah, they were running all 8 cores at
single core performance would probably be significantly faster, but in Cinebench it would score absurdly lower. So
yeah, but it did in the multi-threaded test. It had a score of 2,449, which beats the world record of 2,410.
I assume that was an Intel part.
Yes. I believe that was the 6950X. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So.
It's not even at 2 volts either. That's so cool.
Yeah. So 1.875 volts and running at -200 degrees Celsius.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that just shows the possibility. Again, that video was taken down, so it's kind of
probably good though.
Yeah. Again, we're that close, so you know. So yeah.
Did they confirm it anywhere? Do we know? Like, did they log it on HWBot or anything?
I'm not sure. I don't know. But
there's ways to like, yeah. confirm and validate.
So. Yeah, I'm not specifically sure. But again, I think that we will see even higher overclocks than 5.2 on that chip. It just makes sense.
I think so. But really, though, because I want to say you don't see much higher on high-end desktop parts with all the cores enabled. But you do kind of. I think they can get into the 6 gigahertz range, can't they?
I don't know. I can't remember. I remember we had some stories about like hitting 6 or 7 with some parts recently. I don't know about high-end desktop.
Yeah, see, and that's really... You can't really compare mainstream to high-end, and this is really a high-end. When it comes down to all those cores, and I'm not telling you, Bob, of course, but to all those cores, it creates a lot more heat and a lot more instability when you're doing all that on the same processor.
Yeah, so... But we'll see. I mean, I think, again... This just brings it. There's so much more possibilities for overclockers and all that, and obviously world records getting broken, which is really cool as well.
It won't necessarily have a huge impact, but I would think it would. I'd love to see single core performance on this processor.
Yeah. So, for sure. So yeah, I think that's all of our Ryzen news, which is most of our news.
It can't be.
Yes. So. AMD sent out a press release this week. We're still talking about AMD. But they sent out a press release talking about their Caspian Live events, which will take place on the 28th, which is Tuesday, which is really exciting. And this is when AMD plans to show off Vega. And they said that they are expected to launch the rest of the Ryzen lineup and give us details on the Vega GPU architecture and also show some of the upcoming anticipated AAA games, which is one really cool thing about these events. We get to see some games or like a lot of things, games that are coming up. We get to see them more in depth in these events, which is really cool. At least for me, pretty cool because I pretty much know... You know, if you follow this, we know a lot about the Vega and things like that, unless we just get to see it. But, you know, I like this. I actually do like to see upcoming games being shown off before they come out, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, these tech companies need something flashy to show off, so...
Yes. And so this event will be streamed live. We will give you guys the link when we have it. I should be watching it. I'm going to be covering it, so I should be watching it. So I will be covering it for you guys as well. So hopefully it would be cool if we had a full launch, right? So, you know, we had Ryzen this week. Maybe that's why they did that, just to launch the three processors. They'll quietly launch the rest of the other processors. It won't be as big of a deal, but then maybe like, okay, here's Vega. Here's when it's available. This is what it does, blah, blah, blah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That'd
be really cool.
Yes. So, talking about Vega, at that event for Ryzen, they had systems running Vega, and we get a shot. Somebody took a picture of the Vega graphics card. And again, this might be a prototype. We don't know if this is a full retail sample. It looks very much like all of the other AMD cards. But one thing that you can tell from this is the actual power connector. And that tells us a little bit about the card because how much power it draws.
Yeah.
So it uses a combination of 8-pin and 6-pin PCI Express power connector. Just to give you an idea, the GTX 1080 uses a single 8-pin. So one thing that's interesting about this picture is that, one, there's red LEDs above the power connectors, and that only half of them are on.
Yeah.
So here's my theory on this, is that, you know how AMD had that issue. Was it with the RX 480 that didn't have enough power? Remember they were going to kick it up?
I remember that, but I don't remember which part it was.
Yeah, whichever part they had that issue where maybe it only had a 6-pin or something, or I don't remember specifically, but it was like in the going to be kicked off like the PCI Express list for whatever.
Yeah, because it was overdrawing the.
Yeah, it was overdrawing power. Yeah. So my theory with this, at least from this picture, is that the Vega card, whatever card this is, will have a 6-pin or an 8-pin and a 6-pin, right? Mm-hmm. And the lights show you what it's actually drawing, right? They put the extra pin on there, the extra connector on there, just to be sure, right? Yeah. You know, because they don't want to have that controversy like they had before. Yeah. And then the LEDs just show you how much power is getting drawn. That's my, I don't know.
Or active.
Yeah, or active or whatever.
But isn't it actually, it's actually 8 LEDs.
Yes.
Are we sure it's not just an 8-pin?
It's not.
Because I don't see a 6-pin there, too.
It is.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's a 6 and an 8.
Okay. Oh, okay. I see it starting now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So,
I know that it's got 8 LEDs.
Yeah, so I don't know. Again, yeah. Hmm. That's my theory.
Yeah, no.
Because again, that was a pretty big controversy. Right, yeah. You know, AMD was super excited about the R. I'm almost positive it's the RX 480, and it was almost going to get kicked off the like approved PCI Express list.
Yeah.
Or whatever, no, that
it
was.
Did, actually, it did.
Yeah, so I mean, they don't want that issue, and that's a way to solve that issue, right?
Yeah, it could also be that these LEDs are like, you know, symbols for certain power draw.
Yeah, so that's how they did it.
Or something.
That's how they did it on the R9 Fury X, had these same kind of things. But, you know, who knows? We'll have to see. But it's cool to see that. It's cool to see a real, it doesn't look like a prototype card for the most part. So it's exciting.
Yeah, it looks like it's got a stock cooler on it and everything.
Yeah. Air cooled, which is promising because yeah. As cool as liquid cooled cards are, they're liquid cooled for a reason. That means they run hot. So,
yeah.
So yeah, very, very exciting. Finally,
it has HBM2.
Yes, Derek wants his HBM2. that'll make Derek's year if he gets card all HBM.
I don't care about it if it doesn't have HBM2.
Yes. So. Well, moving over to finally another company other than AMD, GeForce GTX 1080 Ti was teased in the Halo 2 requirements. So somebody took a picture of the Halo 2, or not Halo 2, the Halo 2 has been out for years. I would hope it's not required to have a 1080 Ti. So Halo Wars 2,
yes.
and on the back, on the stock box, it says the ultra requirements are a NVIDIA GTX 1080 Ti, which isn't out yet.
Nice.
So yeah.
Confirming. Yeah.
Yes. So that's very promising. And then,
you know what's interesting? Before we move past, that it says the FX 9590. Why doesn't it just list the Ryzen part if they're gonna list the 1080 Ti?
I don't know.
It's funny to me.
Yeah. Where does that say that? Oh, okay, yeah.
For CPU requirement, like, why not? Why not just say you want a 1800X? You know.
Well, that's the ultra requirement for the CPU. Like, so the CL says a 6700K. I mean, they could put a you know, something higher, but yeah, I know.
But if you're gonna put a 1080 Ti, a part that's not out, why not put AMD's part that's not out?
They should put the Vega part that's not out in there. That's what they actually should have put.
That's true.
Yeah. If anything. But yeah, we talked about it last week that NVIDIA is having that event. And now, if you go to GeForce.com, there's a countdown on that webpage. Interesting enough, on that countdown, the background is titanium crystals. Mm. What is TI stand for? Titanium. Mm. Also interesting, on this countdown page, it says it's almost about time. The TI in time is in bold.
Yeah.
Interesting. Right?
They really
then,
went for it on this one.
If you view the source of the webpage,
it says,
blah, 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 background image, GTX 1080 TI underscore countdown, blah, 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 image.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure we're going to get an announcement of a GTX 1080 TI on Tuesday at the NVIDIA events. That's just my guess.
Trolling hard.
If we don't get this announcement, that would be very disappointing.
Somebody thinks they're funny.
Yeah, somebody thinks they're really funny. But I think with all of these things, it's happening. I mean, what? Unless, again, it's not April yet, so it can't be an April Fool's.
Right.
You know. Yeah. So, yeah. So, finally, talking about that, there has been word that the GTX 1080 Ti will arrive in late March. So, they could, for the most part, this is what NVIDIA does, and this is what most companies do, is they'll announce a product, and then 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, it will be available. And that's what's probably going to happen with the 1080 Ti. They said it will be available sometime between March 20th and 23rd, around that time. You know, so it's exciting.
Yeah.
I think this GDC, which is around, this is the event that all these events are coming around. This is when the AMD event's happening. We have the Ryzen availability coming out on the, or reviews coming out supposedly on the 28th. Mm-hmm. We have the Caspian event on the 28th. We have the GTX 1080 Ti possible announcement slash launch on the 28th. Like, this is awesome. You know how we always say that, like, this time is like the slow time? Like, it seems like this is like awesome time right now. You know,
certainly AMD is pushing everyone to really do everything they can right now.
Yeah, so yeah, they're pushing NVIDIA. You know, we know NVIDIA had this card up their sleeve. I mean, that was kind of a, yeah. You know, but when they were going to launch it, we didn't know. But I mean, because they're having the Vega supposed possible announcement information event, NVIDIA's like, you're not taking our thunder.
Yeah,
we're just going to announce this card that we've been sitting on for months. So, yeah.
Well, I want to say card, but it's a card, so that play, you know.
Yeah,
keeping that ready to go.
Exactly, but that, guys, is our news for this week. I know it was a lot of Ryzen, but that's kind of the big deal this week. I mean, so
it's kind of what you expect. It's the first time AMD's done something good in people's lifetime. So
yeah. So it's very, very exciting. We're super pumped about it. So. That brings us to next week, and I have a really awesome product that's sitting in front of me right now that I've been dying to tell you guys about. It is the Samsung CF791 34-inch curved widescreen monitor. And my whole thing with this review is we don't review displays a lot, but my big thing is that almost everybody I know is a dual-screen person. They use two screens. And I've seen ultra wides for a while, and I've been interested in them, but it's just, just giving up those two screens is hard. It's a difficult thing, I think, for a lot of people. And
it's really expensive to go ultra wide too.
Yeah. So we met with Samsung at CES and kind of pitched them this idea of doing a review like that, where we're not going to go super in depth, but I'm going to tell you, as a person who's used dual screens for maybe 10 plus years, maybe actually probably longer than that, back to my CRT days, having two CRT monitors, going back to a single screen, which is sitting in front of me and I've been using and I love, and you
does
know
it feel clean?
Yeah, it well, it just
that, I, that's what I imagine, just.
It's very, very clean. Now I don't want to give away too much because I want to go over it in my review, but it took a little bit of time to get used to having two things on the same screen, like quadrants, I would say.
Picture
essentially. Yeah, like different quadrants and things, but I'm extremely used to it now. I love the curve. It's really, really great. Having one, and so like doing video editing, even photo editing on a big wide monitor like this is amazing.
Yeah.
Doing audio as well, you have that long timeline at the bottom that has your entire video or your audio edit in it. It's awesome.
Not having to scroll to see the rest of it.
Yeah, it's a great display. I really like it. I'm sad that I had to send it back to Sam's. but it's really cool to check out, and it definitely, because I don't think I would ever buy one without using it for an extended period of time, unless I just had money to throw away and I was like, I want one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you just don't know if it's going to work for you.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, is that I, you know, the first hour using it, I was like, I don't know if I like this, because I had to get used to it.
So essentially, you couldn't even go to the store and try it out, because It's just not enough time.
It's not, yeah, it really, with a monitor, even with like a monitor, keyboard, and mouse, I don't think it's enough time to try those things out. Yeah. Headset, maybe, but, you know, I think with the keyboard and mouse and a monitor, you need time, and especially a monitor, you need more time than even a keyboard and mouse, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like this thing.
Well, not only is it the big monitor, the single screen, you got 1500 curve, it's also what, it's got quantum dot.
It's quantum dot. The resolution is 3340 by 1440.
Ultra HD.
Yeah, really nice resolution. It has USB 3.0 dock on it. You know, it's sexy, 100
man. Hertz, right?
100, yeah, 100 hertz, yeah. Screen. So I was like I said, I was playing Gears of War 4 on it today, which was awesome. Yes. Yeah.
And it's got, doesn't it? If I because I saw this at CES, I'm not trying to. I know a little bit about it. It's got the cord thing, right? The single.
This
cord?
This one does not have that. They do. That was a different one, okay. But this one does have. It makes it easier to route all of your cables. You don't have the big cable mess. So the cables come out of the back of the display, but then the what do you want to call it? The arm or the
Sure.
That has a section that pops off, and you route the cables down through it.
Okay.
Much like you would, if, like the monitor arms that I've reviewed, they all have mm-hmm. those built in too. Yeah. So you can easily, you know, monitor, or not monitor, but easily route all of your cables. It also has audio pass through as well, which is nice. So if you want to connect the headset, you can do that too.
Oh, cool.
Or if you're running audio through HDMI, you can use that as a headset as well, so you don't have to go down to your tower or whatever it may be. You just plug right into the display, so it's cool.
It is really nice, yeah.
Yeah, I really like it. I don't want to give it back, like I said.
Yeah.
It's going to be so hard going back to my dual 24s. This thing is just, it's nice. It's for everything that I do, I do a lot of, obviously, posting news and writing, and then the video editing we do and all of that. It just, it's amazing for somebody like me. And if you do anything like that, it's gonna be great. At gaming, it's great. You know, so yeah.
You just gotta have that $950.
Yeah, that is it. So, yeah. We talked way too much about something that we haven't reviewed. But I also have another really cool product. Silverstone sent us their ESO2 USB. And basically, it's a wireless remote control to turn on and restart your PC. And this is a cool little product. Not a lot of people might use it, but there are use cases for this, and I can totally see it. You know, so basically, it's just like a remote for your car, like a remote starter. Same thing. Really easy to install. I installed it this weekend. It works perfectly. But, you know, if you, say, work in a secure facility where the CPU, the systems are behind a gate or in a rack or something, you need to turn them on, mm-hmm. boom, you just hit this, no problem. You know, if you have a home theater PC that's mounted to the back of your TV and you just want to turn it on, this makes it super simple.
Okay, you won.
Yeah,
that's a really good use case.
If you work in an office and you know it's required that you restart your PC every morning. You walk into the office, you hit the remote, your PC's powering on, you go make your coffee, you come back, you're good to go. It's a cool little thing. It's a cool little DIY part too. So if you don't know a lot about PCs, this will show you how to connect certain things. It's run off a USB header. So it's a cool little device, and I think it does have some use cases. Mm-hmm. You know, and if it does have that use case for you, it's a cool little thing that you can have. And there's not many of these out there, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing how well it works for you.
It works well. That's what I can tell you. It works from, I can turn on my PC from pretty much anywhere in the same room. So yeah, and it has the reset button as well. So if your system ever does crash or you get to a blue screen that if you, for some reason doesn't want to restart after the blue screen, you just hit the little reset button on there. And the force power down works as well. So if you're stuck in the BIOS or something like that, you just hold the power button down, you know, the system will completely turn off. So it's nice.
Yeah.
This whole thing. We also will have some videos that I've been making for different products, different features. I did one on the Aorus RGB that will be up next week, and some other stuff. Videos are a little bit behind because it just takes so long to edit everything together, but I'm trying to keep them up to date with the reviews because I still have a full video of the Aorus motherboard that I need to complete as well. So lots of stuff. Cool. So yeah, lots of stuff coming up, guys. Yeah, we talk about. Did you do anything fun this week? I knew you had to go outside and bike ride because it was nice.
I did that. Funny. Yeah.
Yes.
It was a good time. I didn't nerd out. Actually, I did. I don't know when I saw this, but definitely since the last podcast, I saw La La Land.
Was that good? I heard that was like. Really, isn't that up for an Oscar?
It's up for 14.
Yeah, like a bunch. Like, and it's like the headrunner or something. I saw something. It's
tied with Titanic for Oscars. Yeah.
The Oscars are tonight, are they not?
They are.
Yeah. No, it was like based on this algorithm, La La Land is supposed to win like all these or whatever or something.
Yeah.
I'll have to watch it. Yeah, I had heard really good things.
It's a bit different. I mean, I didn't even tell our group because I thought I would get made fun of for it because like it is a lot of singing and dancing, right?
Yeah. So that's why I saw the preview and I was like, I don't know.
It's just really good. I mean.
Two really great,
super cinematic, right?
Two really great actors. I love. Was it Jason or Gosling or what's his name? Is that him?
No.
Brian Gosling. Yes. No. Are you sure?
Hold on. You got me all screwed up, man.
Is it Ryan Gosling?
Yeah. Oh, is that what you said? You're saying it like super weird.
Ryan Gosling. That's how you say his name.
No.
How do you say his name?
I gotta read it.
Ryan Gosling.
No, the way you're saying it sounds totally wrong, though.
Well, anyways, that's how I say it. That's how Ryan Gosling. And Emma Stone, who also were really good in what other movie were they in together? Let's see. Let me just click on a thing. I'm on IMDb. Crazy Stupid Love. That was actually really good as well.
I'm not sure if I saw that one.
That is with Steve Carell. It's really good.
Man, I feel like I did see it though.
Yeah, I like that. I liked his character in that. Really, really good. He's a really good actor. And Emma Stone.
Ryan Gosling or Steve Carell?
Both. Well, they're both really good actors. But I really liked Ryan Gosling.
Yes,
he was really good in that. So yeah, I will probably watch that here pretty soon. I'll let you know how I like it.
Yeah,
sure. I really didn't do anything much.
No.
No,
saw John Wick 2, though.
I did see that. Did we talk about that last week?
I don't think so.
Well, I did see John Wick 2. You should go see it. If you haven't seen the first one, definitely go see it. It's awesome. That's all I have to say. It's really good.
Definitely on my watch list.
Yes. And I still like Keanu Reeves.
Dude, I've always liked him. You can make fun of me, but...
No, I've always liked him, too.
I get why people make fun of him. Because he can be super odd, but I think he's a good actor still.
It's good. The character fits him well. Lots of shooting and blood and action. And so, yeah. That's why I was really surprised about the first one. I was like, oh, Keanu Reeves. Like, because, you know, Keanu Reeves kind of had his heyday for good movies. And he was kind of doing really bad ones. Yeah. So when I heard the first John Wick and then I saw it, I was like, holy shit, this is really good. Yeah, so to have a second one, good time.
Is it a comic thing? I don't know.
I believe so.
Okay, that's what I thought I had heard, but like, I don't know anything about this.
I would highly recommend watching John Wick 2. I also have been messing around with a new camera. My friend's letting me borrow just to try it out, which is actually just it's a high-end point-and-shoot, I would call it that. It is the Canon GX7 Mark II. And I've been shooting so much video for Think Computers on it that you guys will see here in the next couple weeks. It's really good. The image quality is really good. It's about a $700 point-and-shoot, so it's it's expensive. Obviously you can't do certain things, but it does shoot video very, very well. Pretty much they call it, like, if you're like a professional vlogger, that's what everybody's using is this camera. It works really well. I've shot videos today. I'm gonna shoot some all this week on it. I like it. I might actually pick one up. It's really small too. That's something you can fit in your pocket, really. And for just to, you know, pick it up and just shoot right away, it works really well. So pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks like a camera you would like.
No, yeah. Binder,
pretty basic. Put it on auto and go.
Yeah, I do. I'm pretty sure I'm going to get that A6300 though. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of.
Is this one 4K?
No, it's not 4K. So that's the whole thing to get the A6300. Obviously, with the A6300, you also get the lens options. The one that I'm talking about, again, it's a point and shoot, so you don't have any lens options.
It looks like it has a lens button, but it must not be.
No, it does not. Okay. It also, you know, A6300, 4K, you know, it's much better camera.
Bigger sensor,
yeah. So many more options, and a lot of other
probably,
stuff.
Better autofocus.
Yeah, this autofocus is good, but the A6300 autofocus is pretty much the best out there in that price range. But we won't get into talking about cameras too much. That's something that I need to upgrade for a while, so this is kind of giving me an idea of, you know, what I want to do. So did I do anything else? Oh, one thing I did want to talk about. Microsoft, if you're listening — you're probably not listening, but if you are listening, fix Gears of War. Seriously, I spent the last 3 days trying to get it to work. I hadn't played in a while. I went to play it, I just hit the button, it would open, and then just immediately close. Couldn't figure it out. No error messages, nothing. So then I was reading online that tons of people are having this issue, and they couldn't figure out what it was. People said update Windows. I'm on like the fast track Windows Insider, so I have like the latest version. Updated everything, updated my drivers, reinstalled the game, didn't work. I was like, oh, I guess I can't play this anymore. And then I uninstalled it, and then when I re-downloaded it, which again, it's a 100 gig download, which is so much fun, let me tell you.
Stupid.
Yeah. So I just installed it on a different hard drive and it worked, which makes no sense. Yeah. No sense.
No, it makes total sense, because Microsoft Store is garbage, and that's your whole issue.
Yeah. So people in this thread were really upset. You know, I bought this game, I want to be able to play it, blah, blah, blah. Luckily, I was able to play it, get back into it. But, I mean, it was really frustrating. You know, and then I spent hours trying. Like, this is hours that I could have been writing a review or doing other things. And the people in this thread said they spent like 3 or 4 days trying to figure it out. I mean, that's just time wasted, especially when, you know, that's one of the biggest things. We rely so much on our PCs. When we have an issue, it sometimes it does take time, and that takes away time from, again, for us writing reviews and getting things done. Like,
yeah, you know, as much as like we can obviously figure out and fix it, which is one of the cool things about PC, like, it's also super frustrating when you do have to go in and like spend that much time to fix something. There's nothing worse than when you like have plans to do something and then you end up spending all that time just getting the PC to work.
Yeah, it was very annoying. But luckily, I mean, just like I said, lucky to me. Makes no sense why. Yeah, you know. Yeah. So that's what I did this week, PC related. So, anyways, guys, as I always say, we will have our full show notes page that has the links to everything that we talked about, so you can jump in and read even more. And it's just Think Computers, all one word, on your favorite podcasting apps and software websites. Be great if you could, I guess, what is that? What do you subscribe to it on?
Yeah.
On iTunes Store and all that. I don't really do podcasts anymore, so.
You subscribe, you like, you share.
Yeah, do all that kind of
comment.
Yeah. Yeah. Write a review. You can do. I know you can review. Yeah, rank us. Do whatever. If you like us, you know, we come here every week to talk about tech and talk about what we have going on and what we get the chance to check out, so we can tell you about it. So yeah, it'd be awesome if you guys could, you know, like I said, like, share, subscribe, write a review, whatever.
Especially if you don't like what you're hearing.
Yeah, I know. Everybody hates Derek. You know, you can tell me. So just, you know, say, Bob, why do you have this guy? And I'm like, I don't know.
Because he can't get better.
I'm just trying to help him out. So, anyways, guys, until next week, we'll catch y'all later.